Welcome to What Not to Do. I'm Kyle Schmidt, and this is episode 97, part 3 with Caleb Dykema. He is not just the founder, he's the inventor of OneSwipe, and he's also the host of Just the Bulb. If you are a young entrepreneur or an entrepreneur in general and need that encouragement to take action on your ideas, listen to Just the Bulb. Well, you are going to love this conversation. Hold tight. We will be right back. Good men learn from their own mistakes, but great men learn from the mistakes of others. What Not to Do gives entrepreneurs a platform to share their failures to help equip you for success. We break the silence on failure, we demystify failure, and we help you overcome the fear of failure. So, still not sure what to do? Start with what not to do, because hindsight is 20/20.
Awesome, man. All right. Okay. So we are all inescapably influenced in life, right? We talked about it a little bit earlier, and even how we end up, you know, working in our patterns and all that kind of stuff. You mentioned earlier how you learned a work ethic from growing up on a farm, right? It's just amazing how much different things, circumstances, and people influence and impact us. So I'm curious, you man, if we're honest with ourselves, probably hundreds, if not thousands of people that have actually had major influences on our life. But obviously, mathematically, not all of them have had the same, you know, influence on our life. And so I'm curious, man, for you, as you kind of look back over the course of your life and who you are today, who you've become, is there one person that kind of stands head and shoulders above the rest, whereas if you took them out of the equation, you just wouldn't be the same Caleb Dykema that you are today?
Yeah, I would say it would be two people, my mom and my dad, and they both taught completely different things, just because they were completely different people when it came to running that farm. My dad taught me, you know, having a strong faith life and also just downright hard work. But I think where I'm at in my life, as far as what I'm doing, I think my mom has made the biggest difference as far as the activities, as far as that work ethic, as far as developing yourself and being customer oriented. That's one thing that she really taught me, as far as she was that customer face. She was reaching out to people. She was the social media. She was the back end of everything when it came to paperwork and setting the visions and setting the goals, for along with my dad, but really, you know, nailing down those important parts of a business. And it's so funny. I mean, I think I when I was younger, I was so unorganized, like not farthest thing from a perfectionist, like, and I have slowly turned into my mom, over the past, I don't know, throughout college. Now I'm just like crazy organized, and it's just like mirror image. I'm like, where did this ever come from? But yeah, just that spirit of my mom, that energy too. She loves what she does. And, I think that's really pushed me, to be where I am today.
That's awesome, man. You mentioned that they were entrepreneurs, but I don't think you mentioned their business at all. Like what did they do?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I guess I didn't really talk about that so much. So they were, they've retired from the farm now. But it was actually pretty recently that they did that. But yeah, so we had a farm over in Allenton. It was about 40 acres, and we raised poultry, pork, and beef. So this was like all natural out on the farm. We raised all of our animals outside. So chickens got like the grass and everything, and they nice. Lived in like little bottomless pens, raised like grass fed beef, pigs on the farm too. And yeah, that was a good life right there.
that's some good eating right there.
Oh yeah. Oh man. No, I know. And now that they're retired too, the freezers are slowly diminishing, and I'm just like, oh no, it's all going downhill from here.
Yeah.
I mean, man, the my dad can make a good burger. That's for sure.
And now you didn't have any interest in taking over the family farm or keeping that going, or no one else in the family did?
No, nobody really did. I think they saw how much my dad put in. We're like, no, we're good on that. No, we never did. And they had they didn't feel bad or anything about that. I mean, they really saw that we took off on our own separate pathways, and they were okay with that. But
yeah.
Yeah. They just ended actually recently, at the beginning of January. So
That's some of the best, best meat you can get is just going to the farm and getting a quarter cow or whatever it is, you know?
So, yep, exactly. That's the best stuff right there.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Very, very cool. Okay. Well, I am not interested, Caleb, in the best advice you've ever heard. I want to know, what's some of the worst advice you hear floating around these days?
Oh, yeah. So I think one of the things, I've talked about this a little bit on my podcast too, is that you have to have a tech background to start a tech company. If I could put some words to it, because I mean, people say that, but I heard a phrase from somebody that worked at a company. They said that their boss told them that working at this company, you need to be here for about 5 years before you become valuable to the company. And I was blown back. First off, I couldn't even imagine that a boss would say that to an employee. But second off, if you're not creating value within the first couple months of what you're doing something wrong, or you're at the wrong company. Because I think I've made some pretty good value with the podcast, and I've been doing it for a month. Kyle, I'm sure you made some amazing, amazing value when you first started your podcast within the first, you've been running this since what, February now, and you've impacted so many people. Give yourself five. People create amazing companies and sell them for millions of dollars within 3 years. And your boss or your whoever said that you need to be there for 5 years to create value. That's a lot of BS to me. Tying that back, so you can see I'm a little passionate about that. Just get the energy going there. But no, I think that's
tell us how you really feel. Tell us how you feel.
I was mad for him. Like, come on, dude, say something there. But it's just going back to, Andrew Schmitz was a guy that I had, not related to you at all, but a guy I had on the show. Absolutely
no tech. He's also a great guy.
Yeah. The Schmitz. he had no tech experience going in, created a tech company. The founder of Pandora, the music company, no tech experience. The founder of NerdWallet, no tech experience. That is BS that you have to think that you need tech experience going in, creating a tech company. Once again, you might have to bring in some people. You might have to take somebody as another founder. But is that me? Is that the construction going on?
Yeah. No, it's me over here, I think.
Oh, okay. It's the idea of you just need to have a vision, and you need to be resourceful. You need to be able to find the people that have your same visions, your same why, and want to help you build your business. So that is the worst advice I've ever heard, Kyle.
Well, you know, there's a principle there, right? Because it's like, you need to have expertise in this vertical, in this silo, in order to be successful in the silo. And that's not necessarily true. The expertise could help you. Obviously, if you're going to start a tech company, having tech, you know, expertise or tech background could be very helpful, right? That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is that that's not a limitation. It doesn't mean that someone with no tech background can't be successful starting tech. And I think that's really important. So like, you can apply that to other areas in life. Just because someone, isn't musically inclined doesn't mean that they couldn't start a music company, right? It has to do with, you know, really kind of building out, mapping out that blueprint, really just identifying, seeing value, seeing a need that could be filled, a need that could be served.
And that vision,
building a concept around that, and then just tagging people to say, hey, go build this, right? There are literally people out there that have started like these like little idea incubators, right? Where it's like a room full of folks that come in and generate ideas, and they sell them to companies to go and create businesses, right? Like, they're creating just ideas for businesses and they sell them. How cool is that? It actually is not one of those. And just, you know, we'll call it like we'll call it blowing smoke. We'll meet at the cigar lounge and just sit there blowing smoke. And then like, we'll eventually, you know, we'll eventually stumble across a killer idea. Bone broth LLC. It's probably already taken, man. See, that's so good. Really, again, we're looking to impact millions. We're looking to add value. So if you don't have a bulb and you're listening to this, right? Look to see where you can serve. Again, a good place to start is by saying, what do I enjoy? What am I good at? And what are my economic opportunities? Okay. When you kind of figure out where those three things overlap, then say, great, so how can I take that and meet a need in the world? Right. Because once you take that and you, that's a really good fit. There's something I want to go back to too. You had said earlier about how your passion kind of came and went in college. And I think this is, you know, it's like, it's interesting because like you get some people that say, follow your passion. You get that people say that's the worst advice that they've ever heard. and I like to qualify because I've been learning that some of the worst advice is some it's incomplete advice. Right. And I think doing what you enjoy is good. If you don't like the work, you should probably go find something else. And maybe people would say, well, that's not passion and or whatever it is. I don't really care. Like, enjoy, desire, passion, like do things that you enjoy and that you're good at and that can make money because you're serving a real need in the world. And that's like that's a sweet spot. That'd be like ideal, where those three things can overlap. And the reality is it's probably not just one thing. There's probably a handful of different things you could do if you really just gave it some thought and then figure out how you could take that thing and go meet a need in the world. Or that thing would probably already be meeting the need. But you said that, you know, first, you know, you started off, you're excited, you're passionate. Oh, it was awesome. And then stuff got real, you know, and you kind of lost that passion and then it would eventually come back. And I think it's important, why we can't crutch on our passions. You know, we can't just crutch on our emotions merely. We need all three, right? And we need to remind ourselves then of what that end vision is. Like, where are we going with this? What's the goal, right? Because when we are working hard, and this is part of what we try to do with What Not to Do as well too, is really kind of show the truth of entrepreneurship. It's messy. It's not neat, right? No. It can be hard. It can be lonely. It can be difficult. And it's not always just happy-go-lucky and unicorns, right? Like the unicorns run away, right? and you go through those spells where it's like, I don't really enjoy this. I don't really like this. Why am I up at 3 a.m. doing this, you know? But you have that end vision in mind that keeps you fueled. And eventually you'll find that those passions come back and go. You learn how to gauge them and that you can't fully crutch on them altogether. So I wanted to come back to that. I'm not sure if you had any thoughts on that as well.
I mean, that's so true. You can't just rely on one thing to keep you going. You can't rely on your own motivation. You can't rely on your own willpower. Like I said before, you can't rely on what you're passionate about. One of my older mentors said that she loved basketball, but she could never play basketball for the rest of her life. Every single day for the rest of her life, she couldn't do that. So instead she looked at, well, first, where is her why? Why am I doing this? Where do I want to be in the future? Who do I want to be like? And doing something that reaches that goal, right? Looking at the goal, looking at your end point, or not necessarily your end point, but where you want to be at a certain point in your life, and making the moves to reverse engineering that goal and making the moves to get you there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important as far as doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I heard it said, you know, that you shouldn't, if you're passionate about playing basketball, you shouldn't work in basketball, you know, unless you're trying to aim to be like a professional athlete. That's one thing. If you love golf, don't go work at a golf course, right? Yeah. Because honestly, realistically, how much money are you going to be making at a golf course, right? And you're probably going to be spending it by playing more rounds on golf. Like, you're not, you know.
And how many people are you actually going to impact there, you know?
Right. You'd be better off going to start, you know, a business that you can, you know, have an exit strategy in 3, 4, 5 years, make 20, 30, 40, 50 million, and then go play golf the rest of your life whenever you want to. You know, like, I mean, like that, you could do that. Or, you know, you start a business and you want to work in that business and keep it until the day you die. Great. And you go play golf with your clients, or you know, I mean, like, that's a much more enjoyable way. There's something that when
you're not like forced to do it, right?
Yeah. And so sometimes that's like a switch that goes off. It's like when your passion becomes something that you have to do because you have to make money at it now, you start to lose the enjoyment of the whole thing altogether. And that's where maybe you could distinguish between enjoyment and passion. I guess I'd have to think on that a little bit more. There are a lot of things we can enjoy in life. Maybe we're not deeply passionate about all those things. But there's something about passion that it's part of the equation, and it should be. You know, maybe your passion is to get your parents out of poverty, right? And that's going to drive you like that. That's a weighty passion, right? And that can sustain you and pushing through the nights where you have to stay up all night to work on something for your business. Yeah. So it just kind of depends. If your passion is like, oh, I just want to help koala bears, all right, like how strong is that passion, you know? And then we have to also remember it's just part of the equation. You can't just lean on that one thing and expect that to carry you through, because even things that we are deeply passionate about, they may come and go. Even getting our parents out of poverty, there might be some days where we say, hey, screw them, you know, they got there themselves, like, I'm out, you know. We have to keep it as part of the whole, in that whole end vision, which is important. Okay, man. Well, last but not least, it is rush hour in every major city in the world, from Allenton to Appleton to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Billions of people.
I thought you said major cities. Allenton really isn't too major.
Well, I did, yeah. And billions of people stuck in a traffic jam. And of course, they're all listening to this episode of What Not to Do with Caleb Dykema.
And, what's up,
guys? And you know, they look out their window and they look up and they see a billboard. And by golly, wouldn't you know it, it's Caleb Dykema's billboard. What message? What message do they see, Caleb? What message do you want the world to see?
Man, you put me on the spot, and this is one of the questions I wasn't prepared for. So, I would say something like, it would be something about killing it, you know, as far as go out and get after it and kill it, but don't burn yourself out. Take time for yourself, put yourself into a vulnerable position and attack your bulb, your idea, but don't go too far over in your head and burn yourself out like that. That's a long billboard.
Yeah, no one's reading that billboard, Caleb.
No, that's
let's short that up. Can you sum that up in one phrase?
I would say take after your idea. Take it by the reins, no matter, oh, this is getting long already too. Take your idea by the reins, but don't get burned out.
Can I suggest?
I feel like you could reword this a lot better than I could.
Well, do you mind if I take a crack definitely. At it? Because I think I hear what you're saying. It could be something as simple as take action, take care, right? Take action. Take care, right?
Take action on your idea, take action on your business, but take care of yourself.
Right. Take action on your idea, take care of yourself. And so it could be just take action, but take care, right? Like you don't want to take action at the expense of taking care of yourself. And you don't want to take care of yourself and just loaf around all day and never take action. You really need both. And that's a good way of summing up a lot of what you have, you know, share with us today and just some good stuff, which is awesome. See, that wasn't that hard. Look at that.
You did it for me. I would not be a good billboard sign artist or that no, thing would I, be so you'd be like, sit. Hey, I mean, if they're in traffic though, and it's really slow, they would have time to read that. So maybe I was right.
Depending on the font size, yes. Right? Or we could just have like a string of billboards, like 20 in a row, you know,
hope they have. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Have,
like,
man.
Binoculars or something, like, man, I can't see that.
Take action, take care. Take action, take care. I love that message. It's huge. I hear that message. I'm a learner, and I can get so caught up in learning and reading and finding everything about everything, you know. But taking action is where it all comes, and I have to concentrate myself. It's better that I know less, but I do more with what I already know. Right. It's not about just getting to know more and more and more. It's about doing something with what you know, whatever, let it put it into action. right? Put it into gear, put it into drive. And that's not over against learning, because I'm all for that too, right? But I think you guys all are with me here. You get it. We can get stuck in that paralysis analysis. So take action. It's going to be imperfect, but that's okay. Iterate, take massive imperfect action, and then take care of yourself, right? Hit the gym, eat well, have good relationships, spend time with people that you are for, that you love, that are for you, that love you. Life is too short to live it any other way. Well, if this conversation with Caleb has been a blessing to you, as it has been to me, share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think would really encourage or be encouraged by this, as you yourself have been. What great way you can do that is to leave us a review wherever you listen. Hopefully that's 5 stars. If it's not 5 stars, I want to know about it. Let me know what I can do to add even more value. And if it is 5 stars, awesome. I'd still love to hear what you like about the podcast. You know, and one question I actually ask all my guests off air is, if you know, what's one thing that you could add or take away that would make it even more valuable? So I'll throw that question out there and say, you know, hey, for my listeners, what's one thing that you really like about the podcast? And what's one thing that you would add or take away to make it even more valuable to you as a listener? I would love to hear from you. You can shoot me a private note, private message. You can email me at kyle@whatnottodo.io or find me on LinkedIn. I would love to be able to hear your thoughts there. Well, it's been said that good men learn from their own mistakes, but great men, they learn from the mistakes of others. So go and be great, and we'll see you next time.